PM, Tuesday, March 12, 2024. I call the Rangel Assembly to order. The Pledge of Allegiance tonight will be led by Lietta DeBord. Please rise.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, roll call, please.
Assemblymember Robbins.
Here.
Morrison.
Here.
Audison.
Here.
Dalrymple.
Here.
Powell.
Here.
DeBord.
Here.
And Mayor Gilbert.
Here. There are no ceremonial matters tonight, so we'll go to persons to be heard.
I don't have anybody signed up.
All right. Anyone in the audience wish to speak at this time? All right. Amendments to the agenda. City Assembly Member, Borough Manager, any amendments? Hearing none, conflict of interest. Any Assembly Member have a conflict? All right. Seeing none, consent agenda.
Move to approve the consent agenda as submitted.
Second. Okay, motion by Morrison, second by Robbins. Any discussion? Poll vote, please.
Assembly Members Morrison.
Yes.
Audison.
Yes.
Dalrymple.
Yes.
Powell.
Yes.
DeBord.
Yes.
Robbins.
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert.
Yes. Thank you. Borough Manager's Report.
I'm actually going to defer to the directors first, and then I'll do mine so they can take off. So, Tom, you want to provide a report first?
So, been a busy couple of weeks. Public Works, the last 2 weeks, I've had 21 work callouts in the last 14 days, primarily related to winter road maintenance, SCADA issues at our water treatment plant, and our Node 5 lift station. So, water treatment plant, kind of the most important one here. Last week, we lost our SCADA system, which is basically the monitoring system that makes sure that if something gets out of whack at our water treatment plant, it calls people out and lets us know that we got a problem so that we can fix it before, you know, we run out of water or something like that. And so, this is definitely a big problem for us as we lose control and oversight of necessary plant functions. And, you know, basically what this means is that if we had a water main break over a weekend, we would drain the tanks before we ever even knew about it. So as a result, you know, we have to have 24-hour mandatory plant checks every 4 hours to make sure that everything is working correctly and we're logging the data that we need to for DEC. And so, this started Wednesday night. We worked on it kind of all the way till Saturday morning and had a lot of issues because our SCADA computers are not connected to the internet. They're not supposed to be for various reasons. You know, number one being, we've got a 20-year-old system that's pretty cobbled together. If you connect it to the internet, just the updates and things like that alone could crash the system. And so, you know, we had to work with Blackpoint to get IP addresses and get through the firewall for the technicians just to be able to access this remotely and be able to fix it because it's something that's far beyond our capabilities. But basically what happened, the main PLC in the control panel at the water plant went belly up. We were able to swap that out with a spare that we had on the shelf. But in the restart up of the system, we lost a lot of the communication from the panel to the computer. And so the plant was still operating correctly. Everything was still going as it should. We just had, you know, essentially no oversight or control over that. And so we put in the new PLC and we got everything to kind of come back on. Certain things came back, certain things didn't. We get the technicians in there. You know, they had to basically download the program, completely delete it, reinstall it, and then go back through, reverse engineer all the different serials and ports and communication things that, you know, got messed up when the system went offline. And so, and part of the problem was it was kind of a game of whack-a-mole. You know, as soon as we got the turbidity tank levels and influent plant flows back online, then we lost the alarm system. And that, you know, is a WinCC program, is the SCADA, and then the Win911 is actually like the call-out program. And those talk to different PLCs and how those things communicate with each other, like we were having a breakdown in there. So at this time, we have the majority of controls. Today, like some of our graphing trends are offline. We're still logging the data into Excel, which is what we need for compliance and for oversight, and our alarms are working. It's just, it populates it into a graph that you can also follow. And for some reason, we're losing that communication. So good chance we will have to get those technicians back in to fix that. Fortunately, though, we've kind of done the groundwork for them to be able to do that remotely. So that's kind of the water plan. Also, on that note, our water lead happens to be in British Columbia right now getting training in DAF units, which is great, but it was an inopportune time for, you know, these things to go wrong. But today, Andrew went to the AWC plant in Langley, British Columbia. They are currently in production of our DAF units, so he was able to see them getting made there today, and he was able to go through and review with their process engineers the quality assurance testing and basically the system that they do to ensure that the DAF units meet the specs that they say it's going to. And, you know, really, there is some risk still in the shipment and everything and making sure everything makes it here nice, safe, and sound. But the good news is they will follow up with a commissioning process and sending their people here to town to actually help us with that startup and, you know, again, go over any final training or anything like that. And so that's kind of water. Node 5, starting last week Saturday, we were having issues in the electric panel. It was causing the pump to cycle, you know, 1,000 times a day. Took a couple days to try to figure that out. At first, we thought it was a contactor, and like that might have been followed up, but eventually, come to find out, it was like a copper coil that was bad, and so we got that fixed. But then yesterday morning, we had a sewer main break on the forest main from that station, so we got that dug up, got it fixed. Super deep station; it's like 12 feet down, so it's a pretty big excavation for us to be able to get to that. The good news is, well, first the bad news and then the good news. That station's from 1976, original construction. It's one of the old, like, suction vacuum style pumps, similar to Node 8 by sea level. The good news is, R&M Engineering is supposed to be here next Tuesday, and we're going to discuss our sewer station analysis that will encompass Nodes 5, 8, 10 through 13, and the force main from Node 10. So continue to try to basically get a little bit more of an analysis from an engineering team to help us prioritize how and what to fix there and, you know, come up with some project scopes and estimates so that we can start to move forward on fixing some of those things. Winter road maintenance continues to be ongoing as we get through the tail end of winter here. We've been clearing some trees and brush at the wastewater treatment plant effluent, something that, you know, probably should have been done years ago, but a number of trees that are close enough to the pipes there. Just removing things that are, you know, nearby that, so you reduce any risk of root intrusion or anything like that. We've got pretty big issues right now with the transmission in our newer grader. That machine's only got like 600 hours on it, and it's been shifting hard from fourth to fifth gear for a couple of months now. And so we finally had a technician in town a couple weeks ago and changed the transmission oil, which was discolored, and there was, you know, pretty substantial metal shavings found in the transmission oil. And so the technician is, you know, they're supposed to be analyzing the oil sample to try to figure out exactly what is getting in there and how that got in there, because the technician who was here couldn't figure it out, had no idea. So that's a bit of a mystery here right now. Worst case scenario, it's possible we'll have to ship that thing to Juneau to get it fixed, but ideally, you know, we can do that here ourselves. So keeping an eye on that, because that's a very expensive piece of equipment and we need to take good care of that thing. A lot more water plant planning happening. AP&T is trying to upgrade the comms up there, which will affect our SCADA system. So trying to figure that out with them. Got our insertion valve and inspections coming up here in May. And Amber and I have started talking to Shannon and Wilson, the engineering team who primarily works with us on our dams, on, you know, how we will prioritize any type of projects with that if we do get, you know, any kind of outside funding, and making sure we're up to date there. So other than that, Had a handful of water turn-ons, turn-offs recently, and tire removal at the dump is starting Thursday with channel construction. So hopefully we can get rid of a lot of what's there and get that site prepped for the loading dock project, get that out to bid, and hopefully get that done this summer. So that's the last couple weeks in public works.
Good. A lot of work.
Yeah.
And did you cover the water leak from the water treatment
No, that's plant? Still ongoing. When we get this new camera, we're going to look at some things with that, try to figure that out. I will say the more that this has been ongoing, I don't know if the leak is as bad as we initially had thought. This most recent cold snap and how much it had dried out, you know, it appeared to me that there was, there is definitely a groundwater influence. What's still throwing us off, though, or like the part that you can't really get over is the pH and alkalinity and those numbers matching. And so that's what still leads me to believe that there's likely still something coming from the water plant, but it had slowed to pretty much a trickle here right before we got this most recent rain. So we're going to look at what we can once we get the camera, try to figure out that further. I know at the end of March or so, they're going to start digging around a lot of the piping at the existing water plant in preparation for the new plant. And so, you know, maybe while we've got some excavation and things like that going on up there, we can find something. So, ongoing.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions? All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Then economic development.
I believe you have 12 pages of written material in your packets from our department, so there's no shortage of information and work being conducted. I did want to highlight that Matt did a new design layout for our annual report, which is included there, so that kind of highlights all the things that we did last year. You may have seen that in regular text before, but wanted to showcase that capacity. It also relates to our borough branding project, which will start on April 5th. So we'll have a lot more tools for department heads to utilize once the branding package is complete. All of our letterhead templates, business cards, everything will be formatted accordingly, and there'll be an employee toolkit. So everything that we have that's forward-facing to the public and official documents will have a uniform look across all divisions of the borough, and there will be opportunities for administration to chime in on the design of the brand project, as well as the committee members who we've selected to be a part of that process. So really excited about that. Wanted to highlight also that Matt celebrated his one-year work anniversary, so never having worked for government before in the realm for him, but he's done extremely well, and we have a very high caliber employee in his position. And I couldn't be more pleased with the progress and capacity that he has brought to the borough. And I think we can start to see how that influences other developments and supports the initiatives of all departments, which will be great. Also wanted to highlight for you that we finalized the land lease application and land sale application along with all other planning forms. So those will be available on the website, which will help streamline the process for Kim and the other departments that play into that. And we'll also bring forward an application fee with the fee and rate schedule revisions for this year. I know there's more discussion to be had about a premium rate on individual land sales initiated by private party residents. We haven't gotten that far yet. Growth-based mindset, one thing at a time. Got the new standardized application and the fee, and we'll work through the other details of how those land sales will be administered over time. So we haven't forgotten that piece. Did want to highlight that I had a chance to meet with WCA this morning, particular to land developments, whether that's the partnership with the borough on developing the bridge property over by the Inner Harbor area, the Aldertop land, and an interest that they have to purchase another piece of land in town behind their property. So picking up on that joint work session and the priorities that we've established, trying to clear the queue of things that have been long-standing or pending, and get those out of the way, and then work towards bringing the two staff teams together to detail that work plan. So excited about that. Obviously, working on the Economic Development Department budget and the transient tax budget, as well as our commercial passenger vessel tax fund. Wanted to highlight for you all that the Forest Service is doing their forest plan revision, which I think most of you are aware of. If you reference page 3, right in the center there of my standard department report or monthly report, it highlights the webinars that are available and also specifies April 22nd as the community-wide Wrangell engagement event. So the webinars actually start tomorrow night at 5:30. They all have Zoom links available, and I did put a hyperlink there that will take you right to the site, so it makes it very accessible to you. You don't have to pre-register. They're open. You can tap in, tap out. When they do the activity on April 22nd, we have asked the local ranger to work with the borough to schedule a joint work session with staff and the district folks and regional folks so that we can have a place at the table for the forest plan revision and help influence that from the perspective of Wrangell and what we believe our needs are going forward. So excited about that. I do want you all to know that I spoke with Rick Erickson last week to touch base with him about the cruise ship schedule since we lost those 14 port calls. I don't know if any of you have been tracking, but Skagway has a major capital project underway for replacement of one of their docks, and one of the big pieces of infrastructure broke, collapsed, failed. I don't know exactly what happened when it was in transit, so it's in repairs in Ketchikan. Why does that matter to us? Well, if Skagway can't accept ships at the schedule and rate that they have booked right now, there will be opportunity for Wrangell to accept some of that overflow that can't come into port in Skagway. So I've asked Rick Erickson to think about Wrangell every turn this summer, and if there's opportunity for other vessels to come into our port, we would be more than open to that discussion depending on the size of the vessel. Also, reaching out to individual stakeholders for the community 911 addressing project. Amber and I briefly touched on that earlier last week, and I've started reaching out to stakeholders so we can have a joint meeting in hopes of building out our request for qualifications to solicit services for building out that plan. And that, again, is from the State Homeland Security grant that we received earlier this year, last year, sometime recently. And then the last thing I would highlight for you all is the Thriving Communities program that we're a part of for development at the mill and that technical planning capacity. They are actually doing a site visit on June 11th, 12th, and 13th. And we specifically requested that time frame because we have an assembly meeting on June 11th. And so they'll be able to come in and provide a presentation, perhaps a workshop. So I'll work with the manager and the clerk to schedule that. And that would be sort of a think tank brainstorming session with leadership here and our staff team and that group of capacity builders. So looking forward to hosting them. I may have mentioned this before, but the tribal liaison who serves the secretary's office in the Department of Transportation in D.C., his name is Milo Booth, and he's actually born and raised in Southeast Alaska, originally from Metlakatla, and he will be traveling. He has a specific interest in coming to Wrangell. Obviously, we're a tribal community, but it's close to home for him, given that Met's just a little ways down the channel. So be looking forward to that. And if there are any other questions, please do let me know. I'm going to start a practice of putting the boards and commission summary at the start of each of my department reports so you can kind of see what the meetings have been, what the items that we've reviewed, and what the forecast is for the upcoming meetings. And we meet a lot. We like to meet in this department. I think cumulatively over a couple of months there's 17 meetings that we've had with boards and commissions. So and we're just into March. So anyway, we've been doing a lot of good work, and hopefully our reports convey that. And please do reach out if you have any questions. That's it.
Thank you. Any questions, Assembly Member Powell?
Come on.
on the top village land sales.
Yes.
I've had quite a few people ask me about the, and maybe this might be a question for Amber, I'm not sure, mitigation for wetlands. Okay, and I'm kind of confused on that also, because I thought that Aldertop Village has almost every place that you've done there, I'd say 50 to 60% of it has already been, had housing on it or something like that, right?
Correct.
So not all those are going to be, have to be mitigated, am I correct?
Yes. Yeah, so typically the way the Corps looks at this whole permitting process is that if a land has already been impacted and disturbed, then it's, you know, it's grandfathered in, basically. Like, it's assumed to have gone through that process already, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not needed again. So all of the lots, oh, not all of them, the majority of the lots in phase one that we'll be selling through the lottery and the first surplus meet that criteria. So most of those will not require the individual landowners to pursue that. There are some, if there is still standing timber, original timber, one can assume that that process has not been pursued through the Corps previously, and they should plan to do that.
So my other question is, since nobody that's going to buy one of these lots has no idea about the new findings that have handed it down about Army Corps engineer, what they can and cannot declare wetlands.
Right.
Are we going to do anything about that? Are we going to help them out with that? Are we going to steer them in the right direction? Or can we just say, do whatever you want and ask for forgiveness? I'm serious. I mean, because literally it says in that new thing that if there's not flowable water and all that stuff, it's not wetlands. So why are we going to even stir that pot?
I think, I don't know the exact language of the new regulation, but my understanding is the interpretation of the law, this new law, is that if you can prove that that flowing water is not directly connected to waters of the United States, which, you know, or you're not affecting a stream that flows into waters of the United States, which is, you know, a larger body of water, then that, to some degree, and I think they're still figuring this out, so all of this has not been released yet for a full determination. So my recommendation is that we should not be giving people information, because we don't know. We should direct them to the Corps, because regardless of how that law is interpreted, my understanding is that people should still seek submit a permit and identify what is or is not on their property, on that land, and then the Corps will make that determination. You know, typically what happens is you'll have someone come in and do what they call a wetland determination. You know, it identifies what type of hydrology is happening on the property. It looks at the vegetation that's there to help identify whether or not it's wetland. So that was kind of in the old scenario. And how they're going to look at that now, we're still waiting to really understand what that's going to look like. But my understanding is that the Corps is still going to require permits. It's just how they will look at that and assess a wetland value to them that will change.
And then when we did the industrial park, didn't we require everybody up there to do the same thing?
We did, yes. We don't require
that, it's a process to go through.
We tell people that it is a requirement of the state and the feds to do this. You know, the borough doesn't require that in and of itself, you know, ourselves, nor do we mandate it or monitor it. But the Corps comes in and monitors their own, on their own. And I will say that the Corps has that property, the former Institute property, is a high profile for the Corps and for SHPO. And so, you know, while the borough chose not to provide mitigation and have all of the lots reviewed, and for the reason being, we don't know what impacts individual landowners are going to propose for each of their land. So, you know, we don't want to do a blanket
compensatory mitigation for all of that land. That would be the taxpayer paying for the impacts that the individual landowner is going to put on their property, and that's, in my opinion, not fair to the public for us to do that. And so the decision was made based on that analysis that the borough would only provide for the required mitigation and permits for the roads, for the right-of-ways that we will retain.
So my last question then is, are we going to put out the lots that are going to have mitigation, and one or not? Are they going to be, are we going to let the public know these ones may have mitigation and these ones may not?
We can say these appear to be previously developed, but we should not make that determination.
Okay.
It's the Corps that will make that determination.
All right.
Through an application that the landowner presents.
Okay.
And during the public presentation a couple Saturdays ago, mm-hmm. this was discussed. It is a question. Mm-hmm. But no matter where you buy land on the island, you have to go through the same process.
Correct.
Yeah. And we did mitigate for the roads.
Correct.
So the
yes.
public knows. Assemblymember yes. Dalrymple.
Madam Mayor, I would... I guess request that the borough ask the Army Corps for this specific policy, do this formal instead of this who knows what, and well, something's coming. It's up to them to put this out to the public, and instead of us kind of wondering in this no man's land, this fog of what's going on, it should have firm direction through the whole program now.
One would think, but they just have that... Supreme Court ruling on what constitutes a wetland. And I think the last that I read, Alaska hasn't determined all the regulations.
Correct.
Am I correct?
Correct. You're correct. There's still a lot of unknowns as to how the new rule will be applied. And even outside of what the federal government decides to do, the state also has the opportunity and are reviewing it and have not released a report on how they plan to address wetland concerns in and of themselves. They can establish their own policy related to wetlands if they choose, and there's not been a determination based on the federal change yet.
And the state's determination could be more restrictive
it could.
Than the federal, or less restrictive.
It could.
And
I did reach out to the Corps and ask them for some guidance already, and they said that they have not received a lot of guidance yet, and then just directed me to a website on EPA to start reading about it. So I haven't had a chance to do that to see exactly what information is there yet. I did pass that along to you, Mason. At your request the other day, but there's just a lot of unknowns. But my recommendation to all landowners is to reach out to the Corps. That's a requirement. See if your property requires an application and a wetland determination and what that means.
And the city can provide the contact numbers for the
Absolutely.
Public.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And,
happy
and
to do
try
that.
To make it as easy as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mayor, I would still recommend that the borough write a letter requesting at a certain higher level, both of the state and the federal government, the process and their when is this going to happen,
yeah.
and make the case here that they're impeding our progress and our economic development.
Okay.
Instead of just sitting here waiting until.
Yeah.
I mean, the Supreme Court has ruled, so their old stuff is not valid, it's illegal.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why it behooves us to be impacted by that.
But and at the same regard, I'd like our mitigation money back.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, that'll happen.
Well, we can try to claw mm-hmm. it back. Assembly Member Powell?
Can I request that Amber or you, Mason, would send that to me?
The letter?
No, the what you sent
me. The guidance, for yeah.
The, where to look it up. Thank you.
Yeah. And may we direct you to write a letter of inquiry?
Certainly. Yeah.
To the Army Corps?
Will do.
All right.
Thank you.
One last comment on that note to help support any angst around the Alder Top. Every inquiry that we've gotten from the public, including those that were presented at the HomeWise event, have been documented. We're working up a fact sheet that will be published on our website with all the updated plat information, what the procedures for sale will be, with links to the surplus site when all of that is ready to go. And we can include in there a direct link to the Army Corps and whatever resources we deem appropriate. And I kind of already started to put those resources together so that folks have all the information that they need and have a one-stop shop place for home purchasing and construction. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Great. Manager's report.
Now we get the manager's report. I want to thank
lead with the good news.
You want me to lead with that? I was going to save it for the end. Okay.
All right. Save it for the end.
We're going to save it for the end. We'll keep it in the suspense, even though you guys know it. I want to thank Tom, Kate, and Amber for all their work. You guys can see how full their plates really are. So we're getting things done. It's really exciting. And Kate didn't mention it, I don't think, but the annual report she did was pretty exceptional. So if you had time to read that, it's pretty great. And the printed version's really professional. So appreciate her hard work and Matt's as well. We're going to start tonight talking about the IBEW collective bargaining agreement status. So we have reached a tentative agreement once again as of today. So I want to thank Kim and Mary Gilbert and Assemblymember Powell's efforts. It's kind of been a longer process, so appreciate their diligence. And the way this will work is the agreement will go to their membership for a vote on the 25th and 26th of March. We'll get the status of that. We anticipate a yes vote out of this one this time, and that will go on the April 9th assembly meeting for ratification. At that same time, I'll bring forth a plan for the non-union for adoption as well. So we'll do them simultaneously in the same meeting, and I'll be meeting with assembly members beforehand to discuss that plan. Borough fee and rate schedule. So there's an item tonight to move the date effective for reviewing fees and rates, and we're going to move that to the second meeting in April. So on or before the second meeting in April, regular meeting, we will discuss the fee and rates of the borough, and we'll set those. So I think it works in our timeline better to get further along in the budget process to be able to assess what the actual revenue targets are needed, because we're kind of shooting from the hip at this point in our budget development process. We will continue to work through that, and it's going to mirror the same process as last year. So you guys remember that slide deck we shared in the work session, and much of the same. But if you guys would like to see something different than last year, then please let me know.
You're going to project it out 5 years, 10 years?
Yep. We'll try to project it out as far as we can. We'll have a capital expenditure model that basically forecasts all the pertinent critical needs that we know of. We can't obviously forecast the unknowns, but we'll do our best and we'll model that into our rates. So main targets of that is our enterprise funds. That's what we really focused on. But we'll also review the Nolan Center rates and Parks and Rec and some of the lesser material rates. So that will be forthcoming. I've asked the capital projects director, Amber, to compose a tentative schedule for projects going out to bid. So that's before you tonight. This is a bid schedule for the next 4 to 5 weeks that we're looking at. So a lot of projects going out to bid, but this isn't all of them. This is just the next 4 to 5 weeks. Please note that there's certain agencies we're depending on and other tasks that need to be completed prior to the release for the bid. So it is tentative, but we got some good prospects to look forward to. So the City Park Pavilion replacement will tentatively schedule for March 20th. That's fairly ready to go out. March 20th, we'll also have the Nolan Center standby generator upgrade sent out, the bid. And then on March 27th, the airport runway lighting electrical connectivity. So I know the FAA just approved that, and that's the first one we've been, and thankful for DOT for submitting that on our behalf, but we have to get the project out to bid, so we'll be working on that. Thank Amber for that. March 27th, high school elevator modernization project. April 3rd, loading dock at solid waste transportation. And April 17th, Alder Top Road and utilities. And I'm going to stop here on the high school elevator. We've noted some other organizations around town maybe using a firm to conduct some business for the elevators, inspections, and maintenance. We may look at sole sourcing that to expedite this and get it done. I know it's been a top priority of the assembly. If we do bring a sole source, is that something that's favorably upon if it's a quicker timeline, or do you guys want to pursue a competitive bid for this?
sole source so that we have compatible elevators throughout town, or because we have one in the public safety building, would it be the same manufacturer or the same?
Yeah, Amber can speak to that probably a little bit better. Do you know if it's the same manufacturer as in the public safety building?
It would, our recommendation for the sole source would not be. The manufacturer of the elevator in the public safety building and the old hospital and the high school now, they were all the same brand. That company no longer exists. But they were taken over by Otis. What we've learned is, you know, part of this problem that we've had with this elevator was our initial approach to this was we contacted Otis and asked them if they could come in and help us with this problem with the ram that's buried 30 feet deep in the ground in the middle of the building. And they proposed their only option really to help us was to do a $150,000 investigative effort. So, you know, they didn't offer. And I talked to Josh today and just said, did they confirm that they could not provide a new car in our existing hoistway as we've been working towards design? And he said, that is what they told me originally, and that's why they didn't make a proposal any different than what they did, was to replace the hydraulic ram that's in the ground right now. So ThyssenKrupp is the company who put the elevator in the new hospital. They are coming in and providing maintenance for in service for that elevator. They have the capacity also to do that with our current one. We don't have to have Otis do that necessarily. So I think the idea here is that we already have one elevator company coming into town quarterly to inspect a new elevator that's here in town. They have provided, that same company did provide us a quote to modernize our elevator at the high school, which is what we have been working toward getting a competitive bid out for that level of project. There are about five or six other small elevator companies in the state of Alaska. They're primarily, I've talked to a couple of them in the past, and you know, there are folks who provide small, like lift, you know, mm-hmm. waiter elevators. I don't know that they do or don't have the capacity to provide something of the nature that we need to meet our needs. But we have talked, Mason and I have talked about the potential of sole sourcing to get this thing out the door. I mean, ThyssenKrupp, they have exactly what we need. The performance spec that we are putting together is based on the unit that they have available to fit our hoistway. And if a sole source were approved, we could just work directly with them and get the project moving forward.
And it sounds like you've got the justification that you could present to the assembly when we approve this.
Similar to what I just gave you, but it would be in a little more detail with some confirmation who and who could not even provide. But, you know, we're continuing to work to get the competitive solicitation together. But it is proving that it's going to take a little bit longer. We're still meeting to hash out some of the performance criteria. We're putting together, as far as like a design build, the performance spec that someone would come in and say, yes, we can meet your performance spec, and we have X, Y, and Z size car. We have control panel that meets your spec, on and on. So that's how that solicitation is being presented, which is just a little bit different than having a designer design the whole thing and then having contractors bid on what you've prepared, and primarily because we're trying to make sure we have someone who has something to fit our needs.
I'm very interested in this going out to bid and being accomplished this summer. Mm-hmm. One of the main reasons is Sitka Electric, who did our fire alarm system, mm-hmm. they have to tie in to the mm-hmm. elevator, and I think we only have a year time span for that to happen. Is that correct?
No, we've accommodated for this delay with them, and they're continuing that conversation with us, with the elevator consultant. So, you know, we'll work that out. But, you know, what we would do if you all give Mason the nod that this is something you would like to consider, we would move forward and work through the details with the one company we would present and give you some more justification. And, you know, again, like identify, could they, in their current schedule, complete this project this summer too, you know? And I mean, I don't have a guarantee at this point that they can do that.
Yeah, I understand that. So. By a show of hands, is there any assembly member who would oppose a sole source? Assembly member Del Rippo?
I just have a question that Forest Service also has an elevator. Have you guys surveyed? And I know that there's somebody that comes periodically to do a maintenance safety check on that.
Oh, we can.
Can you just ask and see how that plays in? Because that would be another elevator. To...
I forget that the Forest Service has an elevator as well.
It would be nice if they were all consolidated in terms of inspection. And Assembly Member Powell?
I've never been in a hospital elevator. Is it a big one, like a gurney could go through it and everything? Or?
No, the new one is not that large.
So can I ask, can we find out maybe what that actually costs to have them put in? How many floors does that go to?
I think just two.
So same size as ours, basically two floors. Maybe we could ask them.
Actually,
tell us.
I apologize. The high school is three floors.
Three floors, okay. Oh, that's right. Yeah. I was just wondering what.
Sure, we can do some.
So there's two paths to go. Is any assembly member opposed to exploring the sole source on this? Hearing none. We'll direct you to. To go that route.
We'll proceed with that. We'll have it on the March 26th agenda. That's great.
Thank you.
Over the past few weeks, I've met with Alaska Marine Lines and Samsonite. I've traveled down to Seattle to meet with Alaska Marine Lines regarding barge ramp solutions, and that's one of the assembly's major goals. So we're tackling that head on. I met with Dan Kelly and Don Reed, who are VP of Operations and Facilities, respectively, and we had a really great discussion that they pretty much anticipated. But we do have several safety concerns of the bar service yard and the ramp itself. We know that in the past it's been overloaded for the rating, and we want to avoid that. We're trying to mitigate that together because it is our ramp. So I've expressed to AML and Sampson that we're not comfortable with that kind of liability, and so we're going to look at other solutions together. And we meet again next week to talk about a safety plan for this next upcoming summer, but we have a long-term vision of moving them out to the mill property and having a barge service yard out there. So we're going to continue those discussions. They're all very positive discussions, but the safety concerns, the largest reason we're going to be doing that and to replace a barge ramp on our own is about an $18 million pursuit, as we found out, and they can do it privately for $4 to $5 million. So we'll be looking at that. The other concern too is with the visitors we get in the summertime and try to move and fish back and forth on the reefer containers on whatever avenue this is right here.
Campbell Drive.
The road's not rated for the bowl on that, so it's kind of crushing our roads and our infrastructure below, but also you get a lot of passenger traffic back and forth there, so that's another liability that we're not super comfortable with. And they're expanding their operations. You'll notice throughout the year there's more and more trailers on the side, and they're kind of edging out further and further, and I think we'll give them a reason to do bigger business here, and they seem fairly comfortable with that. So as we hit some critical milestones in those discussions, I'll keep you guys apprised, but pretty excited about the opportunity because that's part of the reason we purchased the mill property.
Mm-hmm. Assembly Member Morrison.
Through the mayor, I've got a question. Does this mean if they were to do this, to move out to 6 Mile, we would no longer own
the ramp? So, that's correct.
So our liability and everything would go away with this one?
That's correct.
And that would be wonderful.
In the perfect world, our vision would be to potentially a drive-down ramp for fishermen, utilizing the old ramp for that capacity, and they could have their own bulkhead and ramp out at the mill property with as much space as they need for their operation. So the key thing is going to be, how do we subsidize it? How do we incentivize that move? I think we can do it with all the tools that we have, for anything from property taxes and grant writing and other tools we have in our basket to amortize that project. So excited to see that come to fruition. Our rate payers are top of mind, so we know that the shipping and rates have been really expensive over the last few years, so we're not going to make a move that doesn't make sense for the community, and we'll be keeping that top of mind throughout this process. So rest assured that's our priority. Moving on to, well, Tom kind of stole my thunder on the tires, but I've been talking a lot with Shorty and his son, Will. They're in town. They were just in town today, and they're going to start moving the tires on Thursday out to the mill property. Those will be sheared out there and shipped out. Still kind of some wonder if the big tractor tires can be shipped out or not, but there's about 25,000 of the other tires and only a few of the other ones, so not too concerned about that. And excited because that's really timely because, as I noted before, on April 3rd, the loading dock and solid waste transfer station will be going out to bid. So we need those tires out of there before we pursue that project. So
Mount Michelin
is going to be retired. Lease agreements. Kim's been busy working with me. I've been negotiating and then say, here you go, Kim. We got another lease. And we've been, Dave's got a question. Do you want
to? Assembly member Powell.
Now we're going to name it Mount Michelin. how are we going to stop that from happening again?
The plan will be that hopefully the lease agreement gets approved with Mr. Tonsgaard for Channel Construction, and then they will assume that portion of the business along with other scrap metal and white goods.
So the tires and everything will be taken out there?
Correct, because Channel Construction has a tire shear.
And don't forget, we have a cooperative agreement with other Southeast communities on a tire shredder, which is not it's certainly not automatic. It requires two workers, and it's a slow process, but perhaps...
It's a tire shredder, too, though. It's not a shredder.
No, it's not a shredder, it's a cutter.
Yeah,
it just cuts the tires, but maybe we can keep up with it.
Right.
If Shorty ever leaves.
And I wasn't serving in this capacity at that time, but I do recall that we didn't make too much progress in the dead of winter shearing our tires.
No.
And I also heard a rumor that shear is with an organization that is not included in CSWA, so I heard that last week, so we'll have to follow up on that.
That's supposed to come around to us here.
Yeah, so... Something to maybe keep note on and do some investigating.
Yeah.
Going back to lease agreements, as I said, we have been busy negotiating and proposing lease agreements. Channel Construction got the six-acre lease out at the mill site that's being proposed. They also want potentially the old mechanics building, so those will be two separate leases, and we are recommending to do both of those in the interim. Trident Seafoods wants a portion of the old mill dock, just like they did last year. That's the southern 100 feet portion towards their plant, as well as the approach. And then Peninsula Seafoods, Summer Strait Seafoods would like the northern 100 feet, 200 foot long old mill dock. And so they'd like to split that, kind of what they did last year, but we want to formalize that under an agreement. So we're talking with both parties on how to do that equitably and make sure that public has access where necessary, because we do have a borough hoist. I know it doesn't get used all the time, but we may consider some other solutions. And then John Campbell's got an Inner Harbor Tidelands lease that's going to go back to the Port Commission this next meeting as well. Did I miss any leases? No, I didn't. the Old Wrangell Medical Center sale update. This is generally what I reported on last time, but everything's tracking. You do have an item in yellow tonight, which is the assembly approval to move forward with the sale of the six adjacent lots. If you guys recall, we've signed a purchase and sale agreement in a consideration of $200,000 for the old medical center. The prospective buyer is planning on demoing it, 48 units, doesn't know exactly the structure and the composition of it, but either the three stories, I think, is two three-story buildings is what he said in the paper, or a six-story building. I can tell you what the community is probably going to say to that, but and he's aware of that, so we've had a really great relationship, and I see that being executed this April. So those are the steps. Just for the listening public, the old medical center will go to planning and zoning in 2 days. Public hearing notice will be sent out, and then assembly approval of the sale and conveyance on April 9th. And then again tonight, six adjacent lots will move forward, approval to move forward with the sale. We'll order the appraisal for those six lots because they're going to be sold at fair market value. Public notice for 4 weeks, and then assembly approval and sale and conveyance on the April 9th. So that's the story on the old hospital, and very exciting development for our community. Landslide update. As I've said in the past, Department of Transportation is doing monthly reports on the status of the landslide site and property in close proximity. I've attached the memorandum that they've come up with to my borough manager's report, which is already posted on wrangell.com. It's about a 15-page report, and they comment on a bunch of different things, the data they're tracking and how they interpret it. The main thing I'll say on this, and I'll let folks read it on their own, is that there was no material deposit or erosion changes detected since November the 20th. So there hasn't been any major shifts or anything in the slide. And that's all commented on in the report, but that's certainly a relief because we have had some adverse weather over the last few months, and those storm events are being tracked to better monitor future incidents. So I really appreciate Travis Eckhoff and his team from the Department of Transportation. I'm almost to your good news, Patty. Capital budget, March 26th work session on bond priorities. So Amber and I will be getting to work through the capital budget here this next month, highly dependent on our operational budget, obviously, with union negotiations being a critical step today, being tentatively agreed to. We'll have more time to discuss those this next month. So as we move through the capital budget process, we're going to have borough and grant-funded projects. But there may be projects that we can't afford to fund that we may reach out to the voter to approve through a bond. This is very characteristic of other communities. Wrangell's been a very debt-adverse community for a long, long time. A long, long time. I think the last bond we ever did prior to the $3.5 million for the school was a playground for $250,000. So not the $120 million of debt Sitka's got. So we would like to entertain the assembly's interest, the public's interest in a work session because we want to garner those priorities early on so we can get those to the attorney and start putting them on, going through the process to get them on the ballot for October, which is a longer process. Roads is top of mind for me. That would be my recommendation. Maybe I'm dangerously saying that. I know. Noticed the last few managers didn't say much about roads, but it's a critical priority that we can't neglect anymore. And I would propose that St. Michael Street would be my vote to put on as a bonding priority. But we may be looking at other avenues of funding roads. I know that the Downland Commission is an opportunity this April to potentially get that project funded. So, but roads and underground infrastructure, that's my priority.
And sidewalks.
And sidewalks, too.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Will you entertain my idea and research that further?
You're going to have to remind me what your idea was.
Yeah. What my latest idea was, we bond for projects, and I'm thinking small projects,
sure.
Maybe 500,000. Yeah, small in today's dollars. But we do the bond ourselves. With our savings, So it'll require a code revision and new ordinance. But will you look into the legality? And we would pay the prevailing bond rate, but instead of interest going to a bond bank, the interest goes to us, and we get permission from the voters. And let's start maybe thinking along those lines.
Okay, we can certainly look
Does
into that.
Does that sound reasonably sane?
And Madam Mayor, are you suggesting, for example, that we would do an interfund loan in that transaction? For example, if we had a water-related project, we know the water funds.
Well, we already have that ability because
yep.
That was my previous idea.
Okay.
Was that our enterprise funds are supposed to operate as a business, so why aren't they allowed to borrow? So they can we already have that in our ordinance. They can borrow from us, and then they pay us back, and so they can do that. But we don't have anything to really allow the public to weigh in on really us using our own money. I know that sounds kind of silly, but instead of that would be a general obligation bond that by law has to go to the voters. So I was just thinking, why go through a bond bank? Why not use our investments? So would
we'll
you
study that out and I'll get back to the assembly on the
26th. Okay. Assembly Member Powell?
The only question I have on that is, what's normal bond bank interest?
It fluctuates, so anywhere from 3.5% to 5.5% has been.
And right now, we're making a lot of money off our money right now. So would it be?
We are.
So that's where I would have to say is, if we're going to do that, I really want to.
Look at the numbers.
Yes, the numbers to get our interest back.
And we'll certainly
lose money on money we're going to loan to ourselves. And I like Patty's idea. It's a good way to get things done and still have our own money back and still make the same amount of interest.
Sure. And we will certainly present the interest rates. And what I look at is the Bloomberg Municipal. It's called the BVAL curve, and it shows the prevailing municipal issuance rate for 10, 20, 30 years out. So, and a lot of times with our capital leases, we'll amortize it using that rate because it's kind of composed of an incremental borrowing rate. Anyway, I'm going on and probably something doesn't matter so much, but we will definitely inform you of the rates at the time.
And that can be written into the ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we could set a threshold, but it would be a simple subtraction.
Sure.
You know, what we're paying versus what we would get. The Assembly only, Member Morrison?
The only question I have is the interest is going to come out of the enterprise fund's money.
No, we're talking about something like roads.
Bonding.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Bonding for roads.
Where's that interest going to come from, the money for the interest, the payment?
We have to pay the interest and the principal.
Paying it back to?
To us.
Hmm.
But we don't need to talk about it now, but it's not too much of a harebrained idea.
I'll provide a report next to the meeting.
Okay, yeah.
Kind of see if it's legal. I think it should be.
My guess is because general obligation bonds prove that taxpayers are securing the debt you're taking on, that it's probably a no, but...
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I don't remember.
Well, what better security than our own money? I mean, we're securing it. But anyway,
we could certainly budget that, and that would be just fine.
There's got to be a way
to
do that.
Okay. Three more things. Kate and I will have a meeting with Commissioner Sandy, who's the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development Commissioner. Me and Patty got to meet her up at the Governor's State of the State. She's been really great to the city of Wrangell lately, approving a $694,000 middle school roof replacement project. She did that, so we're super grateful for that. But we're going to talk a lot about the mill property and the state's interest and what, if any, might have a mutual interest in that property specifically. And we know that state and federal funding can go a long ways. And we want the Coast Guard, we want the Navy, we want something big. And so we're going to explore opportunities with her and what desires are out there. So we'll keep you posted on that. I think that's March 18th or March 19th. I can't remember off the top of my head. I'll be leaving for a SEPA board meeting tomorrow through Friday morning. I'll kind of report back on the status of SEPA, their investments they're making into their capital infrastructure, as well as any projection of rates. The last board meeting, they had no projected rate increases for the whole fiscal year, so it's a good thing to know as we're going into rate time, but I'll make sure I comment on that.
And this is a pet peeve of mine, but usually they set the rates in December. They let us know. And then it's effective January 1,
mm-hmm.
which is their budget cycle. And that's really tough on people. It's during the height of the cold weather.
Well, lucky for the Assembly, you got a spy on the board of the SEPA board, so I'll be able to kind of read what's going on. Not a voting member, but still know what's going on. And I'll report back.
Okay.
So, and last but not least, best news of the week is we got $2.5 million in congressionally directed spending money, CDS money from Murkowski. This was passed through the Consolidated Appropriation Act. This is for a water treatment plant project. Really great news because it's either going to reduce our debt burden, of which will be about $9 million altogether, or it will allow for some cost overruns to occur that were unanticipated. So either way, more of a buffer for the borough. Hopeful that it's a reduction in debt service in the grand scheme of things, and very, very exciting. If the $5 million, this is just an update for you guys, that the $5 million in the FY24 capital budget through the state appropriation passes through the state legislature, For the dam safety upgrade project, the borough will have accumulated over $8.3 million in grant funding over the last 3 months alone. So very, very exciting. We have a $25 million application going out. Already went out for raise. We'll know about that on June 27th. We're going to hit up the Denali Commission for some more money. We have a flap to look forward to in FY25. AML's got a heavy equipment package that they're sending out the door that they got $4 million for communities last year. So we're going to submit a garbage truck this Friday, see if we can't win the lottery on that. But we got a lot of chances, and we just need a couple to hit. And we're really excited about bringing money to this community.
Good report. Any questions? Thank you. Borough Clerk's report.
Not a lot, but the fee and rate ordinances that are on this agenda for the applications for leasing and purchasing, we're not going to wait to bring that resolution in a public hearing to the Assembly. It will be at the next Assembly meeting along with the adoption of the ordinance. So just to let you know that. And then also I wanted to introduce our new Sentinel reporter, Becca. I'm sure Vermont, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, so all the way to us from Vermont. Assembly meetings and other boards and commissions and stuff like that. So you may see her around.
Thank you. Any questions for the borough clerk? All right. Mayor and Assembly business. Assembly member Dalrymple.
Madam Mayor and Assembly, the committee that's been evaluating the applications for the borough manager, we've concluded our work, and I think we've sorted through I think we've got seven total and evaluated, and we have three that we would like to move forward for consideration, at least into the interview process.
All right, thank you. And I'm going to turn to Borough Clerk Lane and explain to the Assembly and the public the procedure.
So the way it would work is that once the committee has completed their work and they let me know who they would like to interview, the interviews will be conducted through Zoom, and it'll be, I'll call a special assembly meeting with the purpose of an executive session to conduct those interviews by Zoom. And then if the assembly wishes, and that would be the whole assembly that would be doing those interviews. And then if the assembly wants to, if there's any of the applicants that they want to bring up, if they're not local, then that could be an additional step. And so, and we can go through that if need be.
All right. And Assembly, you all got a notice to submit possible questions for the interview process. So if you look at those questions and provide your own, that would be very much appreciated. And I'm going to task you two to select from those questions the questions for the interview. Is that all right?
So, yes, please, if you have any questions, just send those to me and I can incorporate those into the interview questions. And then we should just have those be the questions that are asked for the applicants. And we can't deviate from those questions.
Correct. I don't want to go through all those questions. Some of them were silly.
If you look in there and you see questions that you think are not necessary, let me know and I'll remove them.
Okay.
But the assembly, when you're doing your interview, you should ask all of the questions that are listed. But like I said, if you see some that are not really necessary, we have... we've evolved, and so we may not need them. Just let me know if you think they're not necessary.
Okay.
And then do we want to, I would have to check with the applicants to see what date would work, and so if you're in favor, I can get with the committee and find out how many they want to interview, and then I can be in touch with the assembly to see if those dates would work. We're looking at trying to have them at 5:30 so that all members can participate. It's really difficult, I know, when we have members at work and stuff.
Yeah.
And even if we have to go a couple of days, we can do that.
Right. Any questions, Assembly? you'll hear from the clerk. Assemblymember Powell?
This is on...
Yes, business, uh-huh.
I'm letting you know I will not be here on the 23rd meeting.
Okay. Thank you. Any other business?
26th.
Okay, it says 26. I don't got long range glasses. April 26th, I won't be here. Sorry about that.
All right.
It's the 23rd.
That is the 23rd. That's
what I said. April 23rd meeting, and you said the 26th.
Well, you said I won't be here for the 23rd meeting.
Oh, yeah. April 23rd. Sorry.
Right.
April 23rd.
All right, I'm going to restore order. Mayor and Assembly appointments, there are none.
Oh, wait a minute. I had something under.
Oh, Assembly Member Morrison?
Yeah, I had something under.
Assembly business?
Yes. Are we... I don't know where this. Are we not going to repair the Senior Citizen Center?
We're still exploring all options at this point. There's been ideas of moving the Senior Center operations up to the Community Center, as that facility could house existing operations and maybe even offer some more space for seniors to enjoy. But we're just evaluating all options at this point. So we know that we're rewriting the MOU with the Senior Center. Anything that we did in terms of a transition would probably be a two-year plan. So it wouldn't be anything that would be, hey, we're moving today.
What is the issue with the building other than it's rotting?
Amber could probably tell you better than I could. I know that there's some foundation work needed there's ongoing maintenance that's been required of the facility. That's really not our obligation. It's Catholic Charity's obligation to do. But we've been overly generous in the past. It's almost formed an expectation. And so... we're just evaluating what we want to do with that building, and you know, we have a hard time taking care of what we got, so we may look at divestiture.
Okay. Good question. Anything else under assembly business? All right. And there are no appointments, so public hearing. Item 11A, approval to move forward with the sale of borough-owned real property within Wrangell Town site. Specifically, lots 2, 3, 4, 5, 8, and 9 of subdivision plat block 54, according to plat number 68-81, zoned open space and requested by Wayne Johnson. I'm going to open the public hearing now and request a administrative report.
Yeah, I'll be very brief. This is the 6 adjacent lots to the old Wrangell Medical Center that we were talking about earlier in the manager's report. 6 lots that will be attached to the old medical center or the old hospital sale. They're both purchase and sale agreement, and this sale as it is written is conditioned upon each other such that they can't have one or the other because the 6 lots are going to be utilized in creation or construction of a 48-unit complex for apartments or condos. So this is the overall vision. Planning and Zoning on the February 15th had recommended an approval to the Assembly, and this is truly just moving the process forward at this point. The April 9th meeting after EDB has had a chance to review it will be the conveyance and final approval.
And these will be appraised
they will
and
be appraised
sold at fair market value.
And sold at fair market value.
All right. I'll open up the public hearing to entertain any testimony. And seeing none, I'm going to close the public hearing and entertain a motion.
Move to moving forward with the sale of borough-owned real property within Wrangell Town Site, lot 2, 3, 4, 5, 8, and 9, a subdivision plat block 54, according to plat number 68-81, zoned open space, and requested by Wayne Johnson.
Second. All right. Motion by Powell, second by Morrison. Discussion.
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
I just want to offer one point of clarification. I was confusing the old Wrangell Medical Center and the 6 adjacent lot processes. This does not need to go to EDB because it is being sold for fair market value. EDB has already evaluated the old medical center, and Planning and Zoning has yet to do the old medical center itself. But for the 6 adjacent lots, this is the last step for appraisal, public notice, and conveyance.
Right. And the EDB already considered the sale of the old hospital.
That's correct, yep.
did that. Assemblymember Morrison.
You say that the appraisal's already been done on these?
Nope, it'll be.
Oh, it hasn't been done.
If this item is approved tonight, it'll be ordered tomorrow.
Okay. Do we have a ballpark figure? What?
Between 60 and 80 a lot is what I've been told by the assessor.
Okay. Just curious.
Any other assembly member of the board?
Do we know how long it'll take to get appraisals back?
Usually within a week or two.
I'm going to ask for a quick turnaround.
They've been pretty great lately, so okay. We should have a quick turnaround.
And the land that the hospital sits on has already been appraised.
That's correct.
And so I'm sure they can do a tabletop appraisal.
That's what I was gonna say.
Okay. Yeah. Any other questions, comments? This is a good thing. All right, poll vote, please.
Yes. Assembly members Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. There's no unfinished business, and under new business, item 13A, ordinance number 1052 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending section 5.14.025 annual review and approval of fee and rate schedule required in the Wrangell Municipal Code.
Move to approve first reading of 1052 and move to a second reading with a public hearing to be held March 26, 2024.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Audison. Report, please.
So, as stated in the borough manager's report, this is a shift in our code dictating that rates, fee and rates should be addressed on or before the second regular meeting in April. Better aligns with our budget, and we got a good thing in store for you this year.
Yeah, and it's basically a housekeeping item and establishing a better synergy with the budget process. Any comments or questions, Assembly? All right, hearing none, poll vote, please.
Yes. Assembly members Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Austin?
Yes. Item B, ordinance number 1053, an ordinance of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending section 16.08.030 applications, section 16.10.030 applications, and section 16.12.040 sale of real property or tidelands, and establishing a new process for these rates and fees in the Wrangell Municipal Code by adding the fees to the established fee and rate schedule.
Move to approve first reading of 1053. Move to a second reading with a public hearing to be held on March 26, 2024.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Powell, second by Robbins.
I'll go ahead and allow him to comment on this one.
Yeah.
This is really exciting. So we are removing the fees from the application portion of the code, which is something we probably should have done a long time ago, and putting it into the established fee and rate schedule, and we are establishing the application fees for land sales, high lands, and real property sales, which was not in the code. So we are establishing that fee, and if approved tonight, then there'll be a public hearing at the next assembly meeting along with the fee and rate schedule for just that section that shows those fees and rates, or those fees.
All right. Okay. Assembly member.
And just a clarification, this also includes the new application itself?
No, the application is, the application already, it's already stated that they shall fill out an application. We just never had an application. And so this, basically what they will do is they'll fill out an application and attach their fee to that application.
But
is that what you mean?
Is there an application now?
That's what Kate.
Yeah, but there is one. So that, is that part of the code, or is that just an administrative function?
It's in the code that they have to fill out the application.
Okay. Okay,
yeah,
so it's, okay.
Yeah,
thank
so
you.
It's going to work a lot sooner.
Just under consent agenda for our next meeting, can we have see a copy of the application that's been created?
I'll put it under my clerk's report.
Okay, that'll work. And that's for real property and tideland leases.
Real property leases, tideland leases, and real property and tideland purchases. It's for both.
Oh, okay. Good.
So.
lot of time and effort with the Economic Development Department went into that, and working with them and Matt, and it's, I think the assembly will be pleased.
Good, yeah. Good. We needed that.
Yeah.
All right, any other questions, Assembly? All right, poll vote, please.
Yes, Assembly members Powell?
Yes.
DeVore?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Powerful?
Yes.
And Mayor Miller.
Yes. Item C, approval of change order number 4 to Ketchikan Ready Mix and Quarry Incorporated in the amount of $66,804 for the Aldertop Village Subdivision Site Work Project.
Move to approve change order number 4 to Ketchikan Ready Mix and Quarry Inc. in the amount of $66,804 for the Aldertop Village Subdivision Site Work Project.
Second.
Okay, so motion by Morrison, second by Audison. Administrative report.
Yep, so the link to item D, and you'll find out why. Yeah. As the fourth change order to Ketchikan Ready Mix's contract, initially in contract formation, there were certain items that were under a lump sum agreement and others that were on a per unit basis. Those per unit items were underestimated, and for reasons that Amber can identify better than I can, we are entertaining. Or we're proposing a change order to the contract. Overall amount of funding will be $2.6 million for the project that's completely budgeted for after item D. So item D is the budget amendment related to this. You'll see it's more because this is the $66,000 is what we've incurred to this point, but we're anticipating roughly another $100,000 more, $107,000 more. So we'll be pursuing that as time comes along. This is coming out of in item D, the residential construction fund, which makes sense because this is an investment into residential area. And Amber can answer any detailed questions.
I'll also add that there's an opportunity for us to submit an application of a funding application to the Denali Commission for overrun, cost overruns for projects that support housing. And so that is our plan with all of these overrun costs that we've seen to date on this first phase, is to submit that in April, request some funding from the Denali Commission. But in general, yes, this is for the rock. We talked about the overage of rock work, both excavation and new rock, that was under the change order 3. There was $255,000 worth of that related to a variety of things. One was over excavation due to unsuitable soils. The other, some ditch realignment, sloping back the ditches that were too steep, which created a larger ditch, so more excavation, more rock. We knew at the time that there would be more of this. We talked about that, I believe, at the time. So this is the work. The $66,000 is the work that they have performed to date to pay them for that work. We do recognize, obviously, there is more work to finish out the project. So because we have already exceeded those bid item quantities, we know that to finish that work is X amount more. We've gone through and tried to estimate how much that would be to finish out the project, which is where the $175,000 in the budget amendment in the next item comes from. That $175,000 does also cover the $66,000 in change order 4.
Oh, okay, so the $175,000 is not in addition to the $66,000. The
correct.
$66,000 is embedded in the $175,000.
That's okay. Correct. And to be honest with you, our $175,000, we did add 10% more than what we anticipated, just because, you know, I don't, you know, I can't calculate it to, you know, to the stone.
Right.
So we wanted a little bit of cushion there while we're doing this budget amendment in hopes that this will be the final. But it will be what it is at the very end. So we'll, and again, we're keeping truck quantity counts as those come and go for both the excavation material that's going out and the shot rock that's coming in.
I was just going to mention that for the public, that we're you're keeping track of truckloads of materials being moved. And this was probably, I believe it is the best way to have bid this project out, because we're paying actual values rather than someone bidding it up in anticipation of complications
right.
further on down the road.
Yeah.
So,
And with this level of civil work, it's standard, like you know, you always do unit quantities just so you can make adjustments, and you've got a unit price that's established from the beginning so that, you know, you can move forward with the work and not impact the schedule and track those as you go along. Our problem here has been that we didn't have enough money, and we have a $50,000 authority limit by our manager to not be able to move that forward, so we have to bring it to you each time.
And then, is there a threshold? I know there. It's great that you're going for Denali funding. Is there a threshold that they would provide? Nothing over.
Their regulations don't outline that right now.
Okay.
I'll have to double check that, though. There may be some fine detail I haven't read.
I'm not positive either, but I vaguely remember when we submitted for the solid waste transfer station that we ended up getting $250,000. That there were some categories that accepted up to a $2 million project, but that's just a vague memory.
Yeah, so they've got about...
That's the memory I have. So
yeah.
That's what I was...
They've got about 12 different programs within their funding scheme that have different levels of consideration for funding.
Questions, Assemblymember Dalrymple.
Yeah, Mayor, just a comment. I greatly appreciate the change order report. Mm-hmm. It really clearly helps me understand, you know, the process, the budget process. Thank you.
I've heard that request a couple of times, and I apologize. I'm just now getting it, but I'll try to make that standard.
Well, and it helps the Assembly keep track of the money.
Because
in your world, you live with it day in and day out. It's complicated for us. Any other comments or questions? All right, poll vote, please.
Yes, Assembly Members DeBoard.
Yes.
Robbins.
Yes.
Morrison.
Yes.
Otteson.
Yes.
Dalrymple.
Yes.
Powell.
Yes.
And Mayor Miller.
Yes. And our last item, 13D, Resolution Number 03-24-1847 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the FY 2024 budget by transferring that said mention $175,000 from residential construction fund balance to the Aldertop Village subdivision property development account in the residential construction fund for the CIP fund for the Aldertop Village subdivision site work project and authorizing its expenditures.
Move to approve resolution number 03-24-1847.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Robbins, and this is a continuation of the last item.
Yep, again, corresponding budget amendment to the change order number 4 for Ketchikan Ready Mix in the amount of $66,000. It encompasses the $66,000, but the margin remaining is for the projected per unit cost that we expect onto completion.
Okay, I like this. Assembly Member Dalrymple.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have a question. Again, there's kind of limited fiscal information on the top of this, but if I'm doing my math right, basically we have about $800,000 left that's not accounted for yet. It's
approximately, yeah. Okay. And I knew you were going to ask that question. I know I didn't put it in the fiscal note because I was traveling, but we have over $400,000 in the residential construction fund too, so more than we've ever had. So this is a good use of that funding, and potentially have more in there depending on what you guys decide to do with the old hospital, which is something that we'll need to determine on the resolution following the hopeful sale of the old hospital on April 9th.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Any other questions? Okay. Poll vote, please.
Yes. Assembly Members Robbins.
Yes.
Morrison.
Yes.
Otteson.
Yes.
Dalrymple.
Yes.
Powell.
Yes.
DeBoard.
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert.
Yes. Attorney's file available for Assembly Members, and we are going to adjourn at 7:23 p.m.